Russian troops are moving quickly to assert control of cities it has taken in Ukraine, although information from occupied places is scarce. Meanwhile, Ukrainian troops in the east, where urban fighting is heavy, got a surprise visit over the weekend from their president. Joining us now is NPR's Greg Myrie from Kyiv, the capital. Hi, Greg.
Hello, Scott.
So President Zelensky made this surprise visit to the Eastern Front near the key city of Severodonetsk. How did he pull it off, and how did the troops respond?
Yeah, we don't know exactly. He hasn't said how he made this unannounced trip. It almost certainly had to be by road, and this would have been hundreds of miles from the capital, Kyiv, and back. And he reached just a few short miles from Severodonetsk, the absolute focal point of the fighting in recent weeks. He met with troops. He stopped in a couple other towns in the regions, met with civilians. Certainly seems to be well received by looking at the videos that his office posted online. And this was seen as an effort to boost morale, a very gutsy move to do this during a very critical phase of the fighting in eastern Ukraine.
Yeah. Well, you're reporting on that. And also focusing on two cities in southern Ukraine now under Russian control. What does the occupation look like?
Yeah, Scott, you know, when the Russians have taken control of some Ukrainian cities, we tend to stop hearing about them, and they sort of become these black holes of information. So we did want to check on the two larger cities that Russia has taken on Ukraine's southern coast, Mariupol and Kherson. Now, Mariupol, I'm sure many listeners recall, was a scene of intense fighting for weeks. Much of the city was devastated, and there still really seems to be a humanitarian crisis taking place. Russia also, or in a somewhat different way, took over Kherson in the early days of the fighting. There was much less damage, but this, in turn, has allowed the Russians to move very aggressively to try to remake Kherson as a Russian city.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Mariupol. From far away, we certainly have heard that the structures, most of them, are reported to be destroyed, rubble. What information were you able to get?
Right. We had a chat with the mayor, Vadim Boychenko. He's here in Kyiv, but he's still in touch with citizens there. And he says life is truly miserable beyond words. Drinking water is almost impossible to find. And he calls this the biggest, most urgent problem. Food is also scarce. There's no electrical power or cell phone service. He said the sewage system isn't working. There's a powerful stench and the smell of death. We have thousands of bodies there buried in shallow makeshift graves. Businesses are closed. People don't have money. And this was a big city of about 400,000. There's still about 100,000 residents there, he says.
Yeah, wow. And Kherson is not too far away. When you say the occupying forces are trying to turn it into a Russian city, what do you mean?
Yeah, so there's not the same level of humanitarian crisis, but what Russia is doing there, it's requiring the residents to get Russian documents, including passports. Businesses have been told to use the Russian ruble as the currency. There's even apparently been threats that the Russians will seize property if shopkeepers don't sell their goods in rubles. Residents are being pressured to get SIM cards that work with a Russian mobile phone operator. Ukrainian TV broadcasts have been cut. So in all these facets of life, Russians are really trying to erase the sense that this is a Ukrainian city.
But we know occupation is always a challenge in wartime. Does Russia have the resources, the know-how?
You know, that's really going to be an open question, just whether they have enough forces, military forces, and then they may try to bolster it with some civilian personnel as well. Russia's had all sorts of logistical problems through the war, and occupying a city really requires more manpower than the actual invasion and taking over a city. So, we don't know if Russia will be able to pull this off. They're very unlikely to get much cooperation from the Ukrainian populations in these countries. So the Russians could also be very vulnerable to sort of guerrilla-style attacks.
Yeah. Well, finally, just very quickly to soccer. the Ukrainian national men's team over the weekend was on the verge of qualifying for the World Cup. I mean, it was a galvanizing moment, surely, for the people of Ukraine. The world was rooting for the blue and yellow, and they lost a heartbreaker to Wales, 1-0. I assume people in Kyiv who had TV internet connections were all watching, yeah?
Yeah, very, very true, Scott. Much of the country still has this perfectly good TV, internet connections, that sort of things. Bars in Kyiv were full. People were watching Ukraine play on Sunday evening. Ukraine's not a big soccer power, so it would be very exciting at any time for them to get into the World Cup. Fans were shouting glory to Ukraine, and Ukraine certainly had their chances in this game, but they came up short, as you noted, losing 1-0. A big disappointment for Ukrainian fans, but it was a moment of temporary escape.
Yeah. NPR's Greg Myrie in Kyiv. Thanks as always, and stay safe.
My pleasure, Scott.